It was another busy sports weekend here in Central and Southwestern Virginia, and we here at the Sports Line care about our audience. So let's hear from the experts who cover the teams you care about. Here's an unoriginal idea with a local twist, covering the Commonwealth. A quick-hitting segment with expert insight and analysis on all of the local teams. Let's start with the Virginia Cavaliers.
Jerry Hootie at Radcliffe, jerryradcliffe.com, joins us here on the Sports Line. Hey, Hootie, digging out from the snow?
Yeah, man, finally got out. Crazy, wasn't it? It was a pretty lousy day yesterday up here, as you can imagine. Not a good day to be driving to basketball games.
Yeah, but, you know, both Tech and UVA played, and they both won. And, you know, tell me about Virginia's game against VCU for those who didn't get a chance to get up there and check it out.
Well, it was pretty much as I expected. It was a really good defensive battle. VCU's as one of the top defenses in the country in defending the field goal and three-point field goal, and Virginia's number one in the country in not giving up points, so that was pretty much what we thought it would be. Virginia pulled away. They were actually down by five with a little under 7 minutes to play, and as usual, and it came later than usual, Virginia got on one of those runs and outscored VCU 15-2 over the next few minutes and pulled the game out. But it was a real test for them. I thought it was a really well-played game by both teams. Neither one shot very well, and that's to be expected in a game where both teams are defensive-oriented like that.
Jerry Hootie Radcliffe with us here. You mentioned defensive-oriented in a game like that, and you're specifically obviously referring to the win against VCU yesterday. Does Virginia need a game like this here or there in what is otherwise this rent-a-victim stretch, as you like to call them?
Well, yeah, and they've done a pretty decent job of that. They played two ranked teams so far. Beat Wisconsin, a really good Wisconsin team down in the Bahamas. I think Wisconsin actually moved up in the rankings after that pretty far. And then beat Maryland on the road, which was a really tough environment to win in. So I think they have enough decent opponents sprinkled in November and December that it will get them ready for ACC play in January.
Virginia fans going to get real familiar with the Gamecocks, aren't they? Basketball, then the Belk Bowl. I mean, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's South Carolina overload, I think. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, South Carolina's basketball team seems to be struggling. I believe they're 4-5 and lost to Michigan over the weekend. They're hanging in there against good teams. So, you know, Virginia on the down in Columbia, they may give Virginia a pretty stiff game. And, of course, the football game, South Carolina's favorite and probably should be. It's going to be interesting to see how those games come out. They both will probably be fairly well-contested games, I would think.
Jerry, you look at the basketball side of things in particular. Any chances for slip-ups? Is that the primary one? Marshall was thought of that, but they're 5-4 right now, and looks like they've started off a little slower than expected as we round out non-conference play.
Well, you know, maybe in some years, but I think this Virginia team is very conscious of teams like that because of how the season ended last year, and if you ask any of their players, they'll quickly remind you of that. Somebody asked them how they keep their intensity going when they're up 20 or 30 on a team like Morgan State. And I can't remember if it was Kyle Guy or Ty Jerome, but one of them, without even hesitating, said, how do we keep up that intensity? Because the way the season ended last year. So I don't think they're taking anybody for granted. And, I really don't think that they're going to give up a loss so easily to a team that has no business beating them. I think they're going to be very guarded to that, more so than any year in recent memory.
Well, that's encouraging, I guess, and that's kind of what we'd expect from the Cavs. Hootie, thank you. Appreciate your time. Get back out there, get that driveway cleared, and We'll catch up again soon.
All right, I'll be around, guys. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Hootie. Pleasure as always. Jerry Radcliffe. JerryRadcliffe.com. Covering the Commonwealth continues here on the Sports Line.
Now to the Virginia Tech Hokies.
Chris Coleman, TechSideline.com. Hey, Chris, what's up, man? How are you?
Trying to dig myself out of the snow. How are you guys doing?
It's a recurring theme here, Ed.
Yeah, right. Everybody.
Everybody's digging out. How much did you get?
I think we probably got about a foot here.
Yeah.
A little more than expected.
A little more than expected, and good enough to shut the whole place down, although they played some hoops last night. Not a packed crowd, but they played nonetheless, and the Hokies, despite a less than stellar first half, still came out with a dub.
Yeah, they did. You know, it was the first time this year where I felt like, you know, they just had a bad shooting half. The offense was there. They executed it well. They just didn't make their shots. And, you know, things always come back to the mean, and they shot really well in the second half and ended up, winning the game very easily. So they're an entertaining team to watch. Got a big one next Saturday against Washington. That'll be a chance to get a quality win on a neutral site.
How much emphasis goes into a game like that with the non-conference schedule not being the most challenging and what's kind of a funky system now, how these wins are measured in BPI and RPI?
Yeah, that's a good question. Now that the NET has replaced the RPI, I'm not sure everybody knows exactly what to expect yet. I'm planning on asking Buzz about that didn't get a chance this past weekend, but after the next set of home games, talk about what went into scheduling this year with the new metric, because I think it was a tough year to schedule because you weren't exactly sure what to expect. You kind of knew the RPI was on the way out, but you didn't know exactly what it was going to be replaced with. But, I think games like that, it's really about staying focused and doing what you do and not regressing and things like that. And, Virginia Tech, they're doing fine. They're accomplishing that pretty easily.
Chris, real quickly, your thoughts on the way the football season ended, and obviously, the win against Marshall coming on the heels of Virginia, now a Military Bowl appearance against Cincinnati.
Yeah, well, 6-6 sounds a lot better than 4-7, which is what it was looking like there for a while. I was pleased with the way the team responded. I think it says a lot when you respond to adversity, when you're the underdogs at home against UVA, and to be able to come away with that win. And overall, quite honestly, the offense has been a lot better over the last two games. They've been able to score points. They scored 34 against UVA, although some of those were special teams points. And then they scored 41 against Marshall. So the offense has gotten better. The running game's been better. I thought Ryan Willis played the best half of his career against Marshall, was much better in the read option, was much better in the RPO plays, and he had better pocket presence, and that showed up in his stat line.
Chris Coleman with us here. You mentioned some of the positives offensively. I know you guys touched on this in one of your mailbag Q&As on TechSideline.com earlier, last Friday. Cornerback play for Virginia Tech. How much are we going to know about where this unit is, even with Cincinnati on the horizon, or do you need to get to next year before you're convinced that that unit will make the progress that's expected and that needs to be had?
Yeah, I think we'll need to wait until next season. I think as far as those young players go, they weren't as challenged with as many good passing quarterbacks over the second half of the season. Bryce Perkins is a really good player at UVA, but he's not a great passer at this point in his career. And, Marshall had a true freshman. He might have been a redshirt freshman. But either way, he was a freshman starting a quarterback. Miami doesn't have a good quarterback. Pittsburgh doesn't have a good passing quarterback. So I think the cornerback play was improved in the second half of the season. Those guys were much better in coverage, but how much was due to the opposing quarterbacks as opposed to their own improvement? I don't think we'll have the answer to that until sometime next season.
Chris, thank you, man. Good luck with the snow. We'll catch up with you again next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Chris Coleman, TechSideline.com. Here on Covering the Commonwealth.
Now to the Liberty Flames.
Damien Sordelet, Lynchburg News in Advance, and we know he got over a foot of snow. Hi, Damien.
Hey, guys. 16 inches out here in Manita.
Wow.
16 inches.
It's a good bet.
Yeah, spent about an hour and a half shoveling out the cars in the sidewalk, and it was fun.
Yeah, well, it's good for you. It's good exercise, as long as you don't have a heart attack and die. Which unfortunately is one of the sad byproducts of lots of people shoveling snow. But we digress. Liberty Flames, we can talk basketball, but let's be honest, the big story is the new football coach, Hugh Freeze, and obviously lots of people very excited. It's a big splash, garnering national attention, but you know, it certainly makes you question, you know, what the intent of the Liberty football program is to a degree, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's now time to win, that's for sure. And yep. Freeze, with the track record he had, especially at Ole Miss in his 5 years there, finishing top 10 a couple seasons, and he's the only active coach to beat Nick Saban 2 years in a row, and I believe he's one of the few who's beaten Nick Saban in Tuscaloosa when he's been in Alabama. So it's a big, big deal. Shows that this program is set to compete. And I mean, now that Liberty can now say that they've landed a coach who was being offered Power 5 jobs, and that's something that's going to help accelerate this program the next few years, because you're able to land a coach like that.
A lot has been made about the image element to this as well, and what Hugh Freeze is versus his image. Obviously, you're still new in terms of covering this guy and gathering information on him. What is your impression of where Hugh Freeze is as a person right now versus the image that either he's conveying, which is, you know, new and polished, or his critics are conveying, which is not worthy of forgiveness?
I'd say based on his two appearances at Liberty, and we have to go back to the convocation earlier this year where, you know, he was engaging. He publicly apologized for his indiscretions regarding the escort services. And then his impression he made Friday at the press conference where, again, he was engaging. He had a vision. And he showed the type of passion that you want to see out of coach. And that was a big thing for a lot of people to see, how engaged he was, how personable he was, his passion. That really resonated with a lot of people. I think you can overlook his personal indiscretions, his private matter. And then when you look at the recruiting infractions that happened while he was at Ole Miss, when you go back through and you read everything, his part was really minimal, because it was a failure to monitor his staff. And a lot of it was placed on an assistant coach who did a lot of shady things. So you could say Freeze, you know, could focus on that aspect and make sure he is compliant and make sure everything's on the up and up from now on, because that's going to be something that's going to be really, really examined and looked at now that he's at Liberty.
So what you're telling us is there are enough reasons to look away that we can justify bringing him in to win some football games.
Yeah, that's kind of the mindset. They really didn't address that. Ian McCall did address it, and he said, based on the report that they read from the NCAA, that what his involvement was very minimal, and that they felt that everything was good. You know, after looking at it, he's already served his penalty, I guess you could say, because he had a two-year show clause, and if he was hired in the 2017 or 2018 season, he was going to have to serve a two-game suspension during conference play. I'm not sure how that would have played out in the independent ranks. But, you know, since the 2 years have already passed, he doesn't have to serve that suspension. So I think, you know, he served his penalty, especially with, you know, not being able to be hired last year as an assistant at Alabama. So I think he served his penalty for that by being away for 2 years, and now he's ready to get a fresh start. And he mentioned that Liberty gives him the ideal fresh start location.
Yeah, not many escort services in Lynchburg.
Rich has investigated that already, Damien. Don't worry.
I shouldn't joke about it
either. So there's that too.
I shouldn't joke about it. But I agree with you. I mean, that was his personal life, and that shouldn't really affect what he does as a football coach. So,
basketball. Quickly, one question. We'll make it fast. Much you can take away for where this program is right now?
Yeah, I mean, you look at where Liberty is in the RPI, which, you know, I don't know how many people are still using RPI, but Liberty came in at 36th in the initial one, which shows that this program's playing good teams and is winning games. You know, the wins at Kent State was a good one, and, you know, playing at Vanderbilt as close as they did, and, you know, losing by, I believe, 11 or 10 to Georgetown, that shows this program's taking the right steps. The next two games are relatively easy with South Carolina State and Kentucky Christian. So you can say Liberty goes into this road swing with Alabama and Huntsville, and then, you know, cap it off with UCLA at the end of December. You know, Liberty's got a chance to, you know, be in double-digit wins heading into conference play, and that's a good sign for this program. You know, year four of Rich McKay being able to get this program to where it's competitive and, you know, beat for the ASUN title this year.
Damian, thank you, man.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yep, back out to the shoveling.
Yeah, will do.
I know, I've got one. Covering the Commonwealth continues here on the Sports Line.
Now to...
Come on, say it, dude.
The Redskins.
There you go. Wasn't my fault.
Ah, no.
Computer glitch. I blame the voice
technology.
Guy.
Technology.
Voice guy's not working for us like he needs to.
The Redskins.
Thank you. The great Lake Lewis joins us now with the sports journey. New gig, Lake?
Yeah, I've actually had it for some time now, and it's my own media setup. So, yeah, everything's still the same. Nothing as far as work changed, but the title's changed.
Okay, all right. As long as the paycheck's still rolling in.
Yeah, that's the main thing, right?
It is.
It's the name of the game. How many of these current Redskins are going to be getting a paycheck from this team come next year? Or are we at the point now where everybody's job is being evaluated given the debacle yesterday against the Giants?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are being evaluated. And I think if the fans have it their way as of today, yeah, a lot of these folks won't be back. Coaches, upper management, the whole nine. But... you know, in covering this team now, this is my fourth year in the role I'm in, but my seventh year overall. This almost becomes a rite of passage. You know, this is almost like, you know, something that happens at the end of every year. Fortunately, this year it dragged itself out into December, because a lot of times we were having these conversations at the end of October. So I think that fortunately for this team, it's a lot of young players on the roster that won't be going anywhere. But what do you do with them? Where's the direction you take them? Do you bring in a new coaching staff to coach them up? Because clearly right now something's not hitting them in between the years. They just don't look like they're all there right now.
Yeah, Ed and I were talking about it earlier. If you would have told us a couple weeks ago even, certainly earlier in the year, that Eli Manning and Saquon Barkley would be pulled from a game because the Giants were winning by too many, we would have looked at you like you're crazy. I mean... yesterday, clearly not a banner day for the Redskins. Do you think it'll wind up meeting a new coach?
You know, it's hard to say, because you guys know from my time coming on with you, I've been supportive of Jay Gruden and what he's done here. But I can say today that it does look like to me, despite the injuries and things of that nature, the offensive side of the ball has been what's hit hard. But yesterday, it wasn't really the offense. Yeah, I know, you know, Sanchez threw the interception. That was a tip ball. But for the most part, it was the defense yesterday that looked inept. And that's the surprising part, because that's the side of the ball that hasn't been hit as hard by injuries. They just didn't look like they wanted to play football yesterday. And, you know, I'm a Penn State guy, so of course I'm going to say Barkley would have done that against anyone. But, you know, but to run 70-something yards untouched and then maybe two plays later, you know, as far as him touching the ball again, he takes it around for almost 50 yards. It's just that kind of effort doesn't bode well for a head coach, especially a coach in his fifth year, regardless of the injury, because it did put out the message that perhaps he's lost his football team. Guys were complaining a little bit about over-practicing last week, and then you go out and lay an egg like you did yesterday. I mean, it was 40-0 at one point, and I'm sitting in that stadium, and fans were beside themselves. When I say angry, it was a whole nother level of juice in that stadium, and it wasn't good. So, the Redskins, I thought today would make a move. I was under the impression that perhaps maybe Greg Minuski, you know, wouldn't be safe. Just because there needed to be someone, sometimes you have a fall guy, but maybe upper management sees what we're seeing as far as the injuries, and they're going to let this thing run itself out. But it better not be ugly down the stretch here. I can say that for sure.
Lake, thank you, man. We appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again.
All right, guys. Take care.
Lake Lewis with the Sports Journey. The great Lake Lewis. Quick break. That was covering the Commonwealth. When we come back, Ed, Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports with a little bit different take on LU's hire of Hugh Freeze.
Most likely. You could say that based on his article.
Certainly the title.
Yeah.
Kind of gives it away, doesn't it?
It does.
We'll get his thoughts on Hugh Freeze at Liberty next.